Acts. And as we are looking at our last Sunday today, being our last Sunday, May 18th, to nominate deacons for our deacon ministry, I want to preach on the subject of the blessing of faithful deacon ministry. The blessing of faithful deacon ministry, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And I hope that you have taken time in the last couple of weeks to grab a deacon ballot. They are in your worship guides today. And if you didn't pick one of those up, they are back there on the Welcome Center. Our box has had a facelift this week or last, I don't know, but it is black now and it's got deacon on front of it and looks really, really good. And we want to encourage you to go home this afternoon, take a few minutes and be considering, prayerfully consider who you could nominate as deacon. The men who are on this list, it says please do not vote for them, and the reason being is please do not nominate them because they're already serving. They're already serving. And if you say, well, preacher, that makes just perfect sense, well, it should, but every year we get a number of ballots who will have several of those men written on them, and so we want to encourage you not to nominate these guys that are listed on there, but nominate different guys, and I think we're asking for 6 nominations. And if you're struggling with that, you can talk to some of your teachers here. You can talk to other deacons. If you are a deacon who is actively serving right now and you're in our service today, would you stand to your feet? How many guys do I have that are active right now in this service? 3 guys? 4 guys? And then what about all of my deacons that are here? You may not be serving this rotation, but just continue to stand. All of my deacons, will you stand? All of our deacons here. And so we've got some more guys here. And so they will know. Thank you, fellas. You can be seated. They will know of some guys who are out there who are doing it. You can talk with your Sunday school teachers. You can talk with Becky or any of our staff folks. And if you say, well, why would you do that? Sometimes people will say, well, I can only think of a couple. And then sometimes you may not know new people. We have 2 men who are in this service who are relatively new to our church family. They've been here 1 over a year, 1 right at a year. Both of them have served in previous churches as deacons, and they have been identified by other bodies, their past bodies where they served, as faithful men who not only met the requirements of deacon but had that heart to serve. And so some of you all may not know who those folks are, and you can talk to Becky or your teachers or some of these deacons about that, any of your staff guys, and we would love to be able to encourage you in that. And so then you just fill out that nomination, sign your name on the back of it, fold it, and then just drop it in that box. We'll receive nominations through tonight. It's business meeting, and then just sometime to close a business meeting, that box will be taken up and those nomination forms will be gone. And so today is your last day. And if you say, well, preacher, why do y'all make such a big deal out of that? Well, there's something to be said about how God equips his body, how he equips his body with teachers and with evangelists, with pastors, with elders, how he equips his body with deacons, people who can lead our church faithfully. I am grateful to be able to say we're a pastor-led church, but in saying that, I have a great group of accountability around me. I have a personnel team who are made up of 3 deacons. I have a church council that surrounds me. Most of those folks, with the exception of, I think, 1 or 2 guys, maybe myself and Brian, may be the only folks on there that are not previously served in the capacity of deacons. And so God uses his body in incredible ways to not only strengthen the church, but listen to what I'm about to say, to allow the church to go forward, to continue to get the gospel message out. And so this morning, I want to preach on that subject, the blessing of faithful deacon ministry. You could also say, really, the blessing of a faithful deacon, if you want to make it singular for those of you who are serving in that capacity. God never makes a mistake. How many of you believe that? God never makes a mistake. Will you raise your hand? And the way that he has sought to lead our church and to establish our church. He never makes a single solitary mistake in that as well. And so let's read together Acts chapter 6. Now I want to say to you, there are three distinct passages that speak about deacon ministry or that gives us an example of deacons. Acts chapter 6, you're going to see a Greek word in there that talks about service. And while you don't see the word deacon in Acts 6, this is believed to be sort of the precursor. It is, while it's not the establishment of the deacon ministry, you see why there was a need for other men and their families to come along and serve the body of Christ. You see that pattern here in Acts 6. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and then in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, you see three distinct opportunities where the Lord speaks of the blessing or the profitability of deacons, men who are called out for service, who are equipped for ministry, and who go about sharing the gospel, who go about ministering the wonderful name of Jesus in their everyday life. And so I want us to begin reading verses 1 through 7, Acts chapter 7. If you say, preacher, in 10 and a half years of ministry, have you preached Acts 6 here before? I have, but I want you to know that I'm preaching it in a little bit of a different way today. I looked at some old outlines and I thought, you know what? I really believe that there's a fresh message here in Acts chapter 6. So I'm not preaching a rerun to you today. I'm really excited about the distinct difference that the Lord has allowed us to see. And I think part of that is the growth of my own soul in the Lord as we just continue to give ourselves to the word. And so let's read that together and then consider the blessing of faithful deacon ministry. Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, that's an exciting phrase, isn't it? When the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Isn't that a great, great blessing? These they set before the apostles, and they prayed, and they laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful to be able to bow before you. And really just as we're praying through deacon nominations at this time in our church family's life, as we are considering men and families that you are working in, that you are calling out and raising up to serve you and to serve your church, God, we come before you with great expectation about what your word has to say about deacon ministry, about the quality of a deacon, Lord, about the quality of leadership, about what kind of blessing, Lord, you provide to your church, your body, as men who are set apart, God, are just called out and equipped to serve you. Lord, thank you for fully furnishing your body. Church family, if you believe that God has given us everything that we need to serve him faithfully, would you affirm that by saying amen? God, we're grateful that, Lord, you are able to equip with everything we possibly could need to serve you well. And so, God, thank you today for our deacon families that are already serving, our men, their wives, their children who are already serving. God, thank you for those who are not on rotation right now, those who have been able to draw close to you, those who batteries are being recharged, those, Lord, who are just seeking you, considering another opportunity to be able to serve you by serving your body. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to come to a text like this and trust that there is a complete wonderful word and challenge and such a gospel-centered, such a Christ-centered message in this. And so, God, as we preach this word today, will you allow every person in this room to see the wonderful blessing of Christ in each of these verses and each of these points that are going to be made, that God, how as we serve faithfully as men and women in your church, how we are identified with Christ and how we model your example to not only our body, but to outsiders as well, that the number of disciples would increase. And so, Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for being true and constant. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all of you said amen. Someone said this, in the kingdom of God, service is not a stepping stone to nobility. That service is nobility, the only kind of nobility that is recognized. Sometimes I will have young men who are called to the ministry will say things like this, Pastor, tell me what it's like being in full-time ministry where you just get to make all the decisions and call your own shots and make all of your schedule. And I'll just smile. Oftentimes those are over lunch meetings and I'll lay the fork down and I'll just look at them and I say, now you want me to speak honest, right? And they'll say, yeah, we want you to speak honest. And I'll say, ministry is nothing like that. And if that's what you think ministry is, I want you to know you have the wrong perception of ministry going in. I would tell you that anybody who serves the Lord knows that the blessing of being in ministry, the blessing of being able to serve the Lord is in the fact that we are called to serve, right? That we're called to put on an apron. We're called to serve one another. We're called to serve those who are, the Bible refers to as outsiders, those who are outside of the body of Christ. We serve them in many different ways. We serve them through the word, and we serve them spiritually through prayer, and we serve them practically as needs arise. And the whole thing about the idea of leadership inside the body of Christ is that every leadership position, whether you're talking about an elder, a pastor, whether you're talking about a teacher, a deacon, an evangelist, all of those positions are positions that model the servanthood of Christ to a world that desperately needs to understand the blessing in service. If any of you are here and you've served as deacon or you've served as a teacher or a pastor or someone who's just wanting to be faithful in their service to the Lord, you know that service is not always glamorous, is it? But there's times that service is just tremendously fruitful, and it's such a blessing. Not always easy. How many of you have found sometimes ministry is not easy, but there's a challenge or it's difficult at times? Would you raise your hand when you're thinking to yourself, man, I've had this kind of week, it's busy, and all of a sudden it's Friday night at 9:30, and you're thinking to yourself, I've not had time to look at my Sunday school lesson, and you get up on Saturday morning and you think, okay, I'm going to take a couple hours and get that lesson together, and on that Saturday morning, you've got somebody calling and saying, hey, can you watch the grandbabies today? And you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to get to my lesson, right, to teach it? Or you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I'm ready to run out and I've got this thing to do and I'm fixing to go be with my neighbor and make this visit or hang out with them. And the next thing I know, I get a call and one of my families has been in a wreck, and you think to yourself, oh, I need to make that appointment. How do I get there, right? And so it's not always easy, but it is always, always fruitful. I want to encourage you here today, if you're tempted to turn this off because you think, I'm not a deacon, I'm not going to be considered a deacon. If I am, I'm not going to receive it. I just want to say to you, this message is not just for deacons or their families, but this message is for the body of Christ. And so if you're tracking with me, say amen. Ministry that is rooted and grounded in service is nobility. I don't know the guy that said that, but boy, he was really, really wise. I think about how my life has been enriched by the practicality of deacons who have helped me along the way. I can remember the first time I preached, you're going to find this hard to believe, I preached for about 8 minutes no longer than 10 minutes. I want y'all to say, you're lying right now, preacher. And if you say, I wish you'd get back to that. Well, I had a deacon who came to me after that first sermon and said, son, you were just starting to get loose. You needed to just take that passage and run with it. We could have listened to you all day. You know who gave me that advice? A deacon. You say, you took him pretty literally. Probably too literally. Probably too literally. I've had deacons who've come to me and said, you know what? You just were nowhere in that passage. You read it, and you went over here and started talking about something else, and you never did preach the Word of God today. And there I am, 22 years old, trying to learn how to preach and trying to just give my life to the Lord and to have a deacon come beside of me and say, you know what? You just did not keep your finger in the book, man. You read it, but then you went and talked about something totally different. Those kind of challenging things, those kind of encouraging things, those kind of things help us. They help Tracy and I practically. As family, we have been encouraged and blessed by deacons and their spouses and by their children. And I just want to go on record today. Are you listening, church? If you are, say amen. I just go on record today and say the church is inevitably better because of deacons and their families. If you believe that to be true, say amen. And so let's look at this word together, beginning in verse 1. And I want us to notice today how God uses faithful deacons to model Christ and how God uses faithful deacons to serve Jesus and his church. And the number one way he does that is found in verse 1. God uses faithful deacons to serve Jesus and his church by meeting needs. You ought to write that down, by meeting needs. Faithful deacons serve Jesus and his church by meeting needs. Have you ever considered the diversity and the complexity and the very nature of the local church and how it requires servant leaders? I mean, if you get to thinking about the local church and that we are all just sinners who have been redeemed and we've come together, but we're still encased in a sinful body, so therefore there's opportunity for the sin nature to rise up in us. We're just a bunch of sinners trying faithfully to follow Christ and to serve him. Have you ever thought about the nature of the church? We've been redeemed, yes. We've been bought with a price, yes. We have a fabulous future, yes. We're going through sanctification, yes. But that by its very nature sometimes is very complex and it's very diverse. We have a diverse group of people here. I'm grateful to God that we do. We have some people here who have been born and raised in Barron County. They've never left Barron County, never will leave Barron County, and I'm very grateful for them. We have some people who were raised in the north, some people who were from out west, some people who were from the deep south. We have people in this body, and I'm so grateful that we do. For whatever reason, it seems like when new people move to the community, for whatever reason, y'all are out there inviting and encouraging them, and normally those folks will come and give us an opportunity. We have people who have all sorts of vocational backgrounds. We have school teachers and we have students and we have people who work in business and own their own business and we have people who work in industry and work in factories and we have people who are farmers and we are just a diverse group of people. Now listen to what I'm about to say. That diversity and complexity and the very nature of the local church requires that servant leaders are raised up among us and they serve. And they serve, notice in verse 1, in two particular ways. They serve, first of all, in practical ways. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, that talks about the diversity of the church. Someone once said that it's impossible for one person to minister, listen to this, to minister effectively, a person should not attempt to minister to no more than 28 people. Or, in other words, 28 people is the max that a person has the ability to minister to. On any given Sunday, we'll have 375 to 400 people here on any given Sunday. It's an impossibility for one staff person or one deacon or one teacher or one classmate, one person to minister to all of those different people. And so deacons who are serving and meeting needs do that in a real practical sense. Here, the church had grown to such a point that the needs were beginning to be neglected. And it says, a complaint by the Hellenists, this was Greek people, this was non-Jewish, non-Hebrew people, arose against the Hebrews, the Jewish people, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. That means that God was raising up and he was going to identify men who could serve the Lord and serve his church by meeting the practical need of food distribution, making sure that just practical needs were being met. That's what great deacons do. They just make sure practical needs are being met. And so I love our deacons here. Our deacons serve in an array of different ways and in different opportunities. Some provide grief care when someone is about to lose a loved one or someone has passed away. It's not uncommon to find a deacon who is praying and ministering. Maybe they're fetching food. Maybe them in conjunction with their wife or family or several families are taking food and saying, we love you, we want to pray for you, how can we help you in different ways? Deacons see to benevolent needs. When there are needs in the community, when there are needs in the body, deacons are able to minister to those needs. Sometimes it is by receiving offerings. Sometimes it's going and providing care. I know here that many of our deacons are called upon to move people. I know that when we were doing a video testimony not too long ago at Easter about how Jesus changes lives and gives us the heart to serve, one of our deacons on video said, when the Lord calls me to help move people, we just want to help move them. And so I know our deacons have done that. When our church family has moved from one place to another, we just have picked up and we have helped them move. Deacons help people sometimes who are widows or singles clean out their house or clean out their basement. Sometimes, even in some extreme cases, deacons serve as exterminators. How many of you realize that? You don't even know when deacons are sometimes called upon to be exterminators. Deacons' families are called sometimes to assist families in managing their business because maybe they don't have the ability to do that. And I am grateful to God for that kind of ministry that just meets practical everyday needs. Deacons do that. But they not only serve Jesus and his church by meeting practical needs, but by meeting spiritual needs. I want you to notice what verse 1 says, and let's not miss this. They were leading the church body in unity. They were recognizing the diversity, the complexity, and the very nature of the church and how it was changing and the demands that were occurring because of the number of people that were there. And I want you to notice what happens. God raises up some real spirit-filled men to minister, watch this, between those Gentiles, those Hellenists, those non-Hebrews, and the Hebrews. So here, in layman's terms, is what was going on. The Hellenists were over here, and they were saying, listen, when it comes time for food distribution and when it comes time for care, we're always the last person on the totem pole. And sometimes a day or a week will go by, and we're not receiving what we need to receive. And here's what they began to do. They began to look and see that the people who were being neglected had a common thread. They all were Hellenists or with a Greek background. And these people who were being taken care of over here, they all had a consistent background. And that means they were Hebrews or they were Jews. Now watch this. Sometimes that happens in the local church unintentionally. Sometimes you'll have a group of people over here, and it may be the children. And the children say, you know what? And parents of children say, you know what? There's just nothing around here for kids. And we need to do something to ramp up what we're doing for kids. These kids are just being left out. And then sometimes over here on the other hand, it is the idea of maybe it's senior adults, and senior adults would say, you know what, I'm just not being ministered to like I feel like I need to be ministered to, and I'm being left out. And then sometimes it's the middle-agers, and they would say, you know what, Brother Randy's concerned about this group or this group, but what about this middle group? We just seem to not be getting the care or the attention that we need. Now watch what I'm about to say. Sometimes that happens, never intentionally, but when it does, God uses these folks to meet real spiritual needs. They were leading the church body in unity. The Hellenists felt like they were not important. And God, watch this, God uses these men and raises them up. And watch this, when they chose the seven, they made sure that they chose a proselyte. That means they made sure that they chose a person who was a Greek to be able to serve among them. Isn't that an amazing, amazing blessing? You say, so are you saying that faithful deacons serve by meeting needs practically and spiritually, and one of the ways they do that spiritually is by bringing people together? And it is. It really, really is. Can I give you a great word? It's been on my heart all week as it pertains to this message. All of us, including our deacons, including our staff, including everybody in our church family, we should do two things. We should always seek to give our brother or sister in Christ the benefit of the doubt, and we should always seek not to assume before we have the facts. See, if you just think something about somebody without really knowing the facts, what you're doing is assuming you know their mind and you know their heart. And then that causes us to do what? Causes us to cast judgment on them. But what you do as a mature believer is this, and here's how deacons bring the best out in people. They are able to say, you know what? Let's avoid that assuming, and let's just bring people to the table. And if we assume anything, let's assume that, man, their intention is nothing but for Christ and for the good of the body. If that makes sense, say amen. Faithful deacons serve Jesus and his church by meeting needs. But watch this. Faithful deacons serve Jesus and his church by making pastors better. Look at verse 2 and then look at verse 4. I don't want you to miss how this issue is resolved. There were needs that needed to be met, so they begin to clarify what those needs are, and then they begin to meet those needs. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Then look down at verse 4. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Faithful deacons serve Jesus' church by making pastors and staff just better. If you say, preacher, is there anything that you do good? And I would say, if there's anything I do good, it's first of all, one, by God's grace. And secondly, it's because I have a great group of people around me. Our staff makes me better. Our deacons make us better. Our Sunday school teachers that are teaching the word make us better. That is just the nature and the way that God's designed the local church. I am so incredibly blessed to be able to know that if I can't be in a hospital every day or every week, that I have not only deacons who are there, but teachers who are there, people who are administering care who are there, staff who are there. And it is a tremendous blessing. Faithful deacons make their pastors or leaders better by supporting them. So they're not only serving, but they're supporting them to fulfill their calling. And so you say, well, what is it that deacons do that allows you to do other things? Well, as deacons are out there serving and ministering to the practical, everyday needs of the people, it allows us to pray. And if you say, well, preacher, what do you preachers have a lot to pray about? What would possibly demand so much time that you need to pray about? Well, there's the idea of sharing God's word, right? And so that comes by more than just studying. It comes by meditating over the passage, make sure we're rightly dividing the word. There are people to pray for. And so as I come to the church body on a Sunday morning, I'll say, hey, let's be sure to pray for boom, 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 boom. It is because throughout the week, we've had those people upon our mind and upon our heart, and we're praying for them. Every once in a while, somebody will come by, and they'll say something like this. Hey, Pastor, could you pray for me? I'm going to be sharing my faith, and the person I'm sharing my faith with is a transsexual That means that they had a sex change operation, and now they're being convicted of their sin, and I'm struggling to understand what repentance looks like for a person like that. And so I'm really slow to answer that question. I'll say, well, let's think through that together, and let's pray through that together, and let's talk through that together. And that just takes an amount of time. Sometimes the office is so busy and so constant, one need after another coming in, that I'll just shut the door. I'll say, see you guys later, and I will take off. Most of the time, I'm at the back porch sitting there. I've got my Bible open, and I'm just contemplating those things that I've heard and seen for the day. Many of them just drive me to an attitude of prayer, and I just think, God, we really need to be praying for them. Lord, will you intercede for them? I have a couple who comes and they say, we're thinking about getting married. What do you think? And this is our past situation. And so when I say to them, I'll be praying for you. I really need to do that, right? I need to do more than just say, pat them on the back and say, hey, I'm okay, I got your back, and then never do anything more about that. You don't want that kind of hypocritical pastor. You want somebody who's really praying. And so there are real needs that require real prayer. Pastors are called to pray. Pastors are called to preach and to study the word and get the word together and bring it before the people and to proclaim, thus saith the Lord, and to show people the great story of Jesus and his gospel and how God longs to redeem. Pastors protect through the ministry of the word. There are numbers of days that people will just call and say, what do you think about this? And there's a counseling need. We're grateful for ministries like Heart Cry for Hope that have been raised up among us, that we can say, especially to young ladies or to women, hey, you need to just get hooked up with Summer, and if you'll give them a call, or we can give them a call for you, that'll be a tremendous blessing, because there's this tremendous amount of ministry through the word. There are pastors who are called to lead, and so all of those things are allow us, as deacons serve faithfully, they allow us to fulfill the calling that God has placed on our hearts and on our lives better. And so we are so grateful for that. Deacons serve Jesus and his church by meeting needs and by making pastors better. Pick, are you better because of the way our deacons serve? Yes. Ricky, when you have pastored, are you better because of the way deacons have served? Ricky's saying yes, and I am saying yes here. And if we had 12 guys up here, every one of them would say, we are absolutely better because of the way deacons and their wives and families serve the Lord and his church. Here's the third thing. If you're ready, say amen. Faithful deacons serve Jesus and his church by spirit-filled character. Listen to what happens. They summoned the people together and they said, okay, it's not good that we should give up our calling, what we're called to do, to see to these practical needs. And so here's what we're going to do. And he says, therefore, brothers, verse 3, pick out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. Now, I want you to notice that phrase, full of the Spirit. Now, I want you to know what literally that means in the translation. It means that these men were controlled by God. Particularly, they were controlled by the Spirit of God. And so deacons serve Jesus faithfully by not only making their pastors better and meeting needs, but by living a Spirit-filled life and allowing the Spirit of God to shape their character. Their reputation was shaped by the Lord. Do you know that integrity and character and reputation, it's vitally, vitally important. It's important for us to know a person's walk and to be able to look at their life and to be able to encourage them. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, there's a long list of responsibilities and requirements that aid a deacon and aid an elder in the development of a godly reputation and a godly character. Some of those things is that they can't be given to much wine, right? And so that means they need to be a person who's sensible and they're in control. They're not given to alcohol to the point to where it is altering in their life. Things like they ought not be double-tongued, but they ought to be very consistent in their speech. Things like, hey, make sure that if you blow it publicly, that you're also repenting publicly. Make sure if you blow it privately, you're also repenting privately. Make sure that your house is in order, right? You're loving your wife appropriately. You're loving your children appropriately. All of those things help build that reputation. And for the man of God whose life is being controlled by the Spirit of God, that helps shape that reputation that the Lord can use that person as a leader. And so there's always this question that we get during this time of year when we begin to call nominees in and say, the church nominated you to serve as a deacon. We want to talk to you about that. Here's one of the questions or comments that we get every single year. The first one normally is, I don't feel worthy. And that's where we're able to affirm and say, you know what, you're not, and I'm not either. None of us are. But we serve by God's grace. If you understand that, say amen, right? None of us are worthy. And then the second comment that we normally get is this. If the people really knew my life, they probably wouldn't vote for us. And we would say, so talk to us about that. Are you saying there's a stronghold that's hidden that nobody knows about? Or are you saying that you just don't feel like you are a perfect guy? And most, 9 times out of 10 people say, I just don't feel like I'm living up to that caliber or that level of perfection or maturity. And I want to say to you, are you listening? No one can apart from Christ. If you understand that, say amen. When God's talking about character that is Spirit-filled, he's not talking about perfect character. He's talking about character that is teachable and that is maturing and it is growing. I thank God that I'm not the same man that I was yesterday. And I thank God that next week, Lord willing, I'm going to be further down the road in my spiritual maturity than I was this week. That God's going to teach me more and he's going to conform my mind and my heart even more. And so the reputation was shaped by the Lord. Their life was controlled by the Spirit of God. And you say, well, what does that look like? Well, it looks like Bible intake, and it looks like time spent in prayer, and it looks like just being able to think about things the way God would have you think about them biblically. That leads us to that next point of their life was not only controlled by the Spirit, but their thoughts and actions were anchored in wisdom. These men were picked out who had good reputation, full of the Spirit, and full of wisdom. They were controlled by wisdom. So, what does that mean? Are you listening? If you are, say amen. It means that as church leaders, whether we're talking about pastors, evangelists, teachers, whether we're talking about deacons, here primarily in today's text, deacons, can I say this to you? Listen well. Deacons avoid controversies. They are wise, and when they look at life, they look at life through the lens of Scripture. That's what wisdom means. When it means they are controlled by wisdom, this is the thought that they are constantly tied to or anchored to. What does the Bible say about that? This coming Tuesday is an election, and I hope every one of you will go as a citizen of the United States of America and go exercise your right to vote. It is not my job to tell you how to vote. I would tell you that the election of kings and princes, and for our context in America, presidents and mayors and everything else that is ever voted on, that is, those appointments ultimately are made by the sovereignty and providence of God. So therefore, because God ultimately is involved, we should go and exercise that right that we have as citizens to vote. But I want to say to you, in this election year at the ballpark, when people are saying to me, what do you say, Pastor? I've had multiple conversations that if I would have just cracked the door open, we would have had multiple people here electioneering. They would have been here electioneering. And I said, we just are not going to do that. And if you say, well, why? Why, preacher? Why wouldn't you want to do that? Because at the end of the day, it's not, I'm not so interested in what a Republican says or a Democrat says or an independent says. We as Christians need to be concerned about what does the Bible say. Are y'all listening to me? And so when we say, what does the Bible say, we allow the weight of Scripture to shape our decisions and to shape our thoughts and to shape our actions. And so when people say, hey, what should I do, Pastor? What about this particular situation? I'll normally say, be informed, know the record, ask them where their position is, what they're on, and then see how that lines up with Scripture. And then you need to go make a decision that's going to honor the Lord, a scriptural decision. Now, I know some people here may say, preacher's meddling politics and Scripture. Listen to me. Are y'all listening? If you are, say amen. The Word of God bears on every decision we make. Do you believe that? If you do, say amen. It comes to bear on every decision we make. And so when it says that these men serve the Lord by Spirit-filled character, their thoughts and actions are anchored to the Word of God, they are controlled by the Spirit, and their reputation is certainly shaped by the Lord. And then two last thoughts and we're done. Deacons serve Jesus and His church by affirmation of the body. Verses 5 and 6. These men were chosen and affirmed by the leadership and the laity of the body. I look forward to this time. I look forward to this time. I want you to listen. This next service, and we'll have a group of young people, I talk to my guys about one day you're liable to be at a church somewhere and the church wants to nominate you as a deacon, and you need to fully understand what that's like, what that is about, right? We do not, when we come to this time of year, it seems like it rolls around upon us very quickly, but we feel like if we minimize this, right, this idea of praying over and voting for people, folding it up, sticking it in, and then hearing later in June who those people are that God's raised up among us, I feel like if we minimize this, somehow we're minimizing what God wants to do in the life of our church. Deacons make Calvary Baptist Church better. If you believe it, say amen. I've got some deacons that are serving right now out in the community, and it absolutely thrills me to see them doing that. These men were chosen and affirmed by the leadership and the laity of the body. So the apostles got together, and they said, here are some guys that are walking with us. Here are some guys that know the Lord. Here are some guys that are being controlled by the Spirit. What about these guys? And then the saying pleased the whole multitude. The church affirmed that. And then notice what happens there in the tail end of verse 6. These men, they set apart before the apostles, and watch this, and they prayed and they laid their hands on them. These men were set apart, commissioned, and empowered for service. I really want to move toward closure with this. What God entrusts to us by way of the gospel in the context of the local church, in one hand is a very powerful thing, and in the other hand, it's a very frail thing. And this idea of being able to take the word and being able to commit it to a next generation, deacons play a tremendously valuable part of that. Not only freeing up pastors to do what they're called to do, but by living that life to where the gospel, their life is a conduit of the gospel just being passed on from one generation to the next, from one family to another. This idea that they were brought before the apostles and their hands were laid upon them, it's the idea that they were set apart and commissioned for a particular work of the Lord. And that work of the Lord should never, ever be minimized. Doesn't it make sense? Doesn't it make sense that if the things that we do for Christ are going to be the things that truly last for all eternity, that the things that we do as the Lord calls us to lead or to pastor or to teach or to serve as a deacon, those are going to be the things that last for all eternity. Sometimes people say things like this, what do you think I'm going to be most surprised about in heaven? And my normal response is, first of all, the glory of God. You are not going to be caught up with streets of gold and gates of pearl. You're not going to be caught up. And by the way, can I just go on record and say, you're not going to have wings and turn into an angel. And you're not going to sit on the lap of Jesus and have angels sing to you. Are y'all all right with that? You're buying those books and you're reading them. And I want you to say, they're just not biblical. All right? They're just not biblical. We are going to be so enamored with the glory of God in the presence of Jesus. I mean, it's His presence that we are going to adore, that we are going to be captivated by. When you look at the Grand Canyon and you say, wow. When you look at Niagara Falls and you say, wow. When you get in an airplane at 20,000 feet and you look down and you say, wow. You are going to look at Jesus, and every moment of the day you're going to say, wow. Because He's going to be grander and grander and larger and more appealing each second you know Him. And there will never be a time that you get tired of looking at Him and worshiping Him and giving your life to Him. So therefore, if that is true, which I believe it is, it means the things that we do here are going to be the things that are treasured in heaven that we offer to the Lord. And so I really don't believe that we're going to be known in heaven for some of the accomplishments that we have here. I believe that there are going to be a host of deacons who behind the scenes went to some widow's house and said, don't pay that guy to get your yard cleaned up and get these limbs picked up and trimmed up. I'm going to trim up all your trees, and I'm going to mow your yard, and I'm going to get you set for the summer. And he didn't report it in deacon's meeting, and he didn't report it to the pastor where he could stand up and talk about it. He just did it, and he served that widow like he was serving the Lord. There's treasure in heaven for that. President Obama will not receive the rewards that deacon will receive. If that makes sense to you, say amen. Today, will you stand to your feet? Let's pray for our deacon nomination process. Let's be involved. I think as you head to your classes, there are nomination forms in your classes. There are some back there. And I don't want you just to write down a bunch of names and throw them in there. Go home and pray about it if you've not had time to do that. Talk with your spouse if you need help. See some of your church leadership, and they'll point you in the right direction. But will you pray? Will you join hands with somebody right now, and let's collectively as a faith family pray for our deacons who are serving, our guys who are doing it just right now. Guys who make us better, guys who serve the Lord faithfully, guys like Grant Pickerel and Bob Shortridge, Corey Haynes and Wes Mauser. People like Tom Tank and Brad Watson, Todd Belcher and Gerald Wood, Brian Clifford and Ricky Martin, Nick Pointer, Jared Browning, Sam Smith, David Johnson, whole list of guys who are not currently serving this rotation, taking a year off. Can we pray for those guys? Can we ask God to raise up more like them among us? Could we thank the Lord this morning for how He equips His local church? If you're grateful for deacons and their families, would you affirm that by saying amen? Lord, You are great and good. And God, we come before You this morning with our hearts just full and overwhelmed at the idea of how, God, You have thoroughly furnished Your church, how, God, You have equipped us, and God, how You, in Your divine plan, Lord, have just surrounded us with faithful men and women and families, God, that allow us to not only fulfill our call, not only allow our church family to pursue You and the gospel, but Lord, they help us spread the gospel, verse 7, and increase the word. They help us make disciples. God, thank You for faithful people. And Lord, today, while your word has been specifically, we've been looking at deacons, God, thank you for our teachers. Thank you for our musicians. Thank you, God, for people who lead out on different committees, people who get financial requests, people who serve in the building of houses and finalizing deeds. And God, thank you for people who serve in the nursery. God, just thank you for people who serve one another like they're serving Jesus. God, we praise you and thank you, and we ask that you would even raise up more among us. God, may I exemplify a servant's life to not only our deacons, but to everyone in our church. May there never be a mindset or a heart or an attitude that says, I will not do that. God, may I joyfully, willingly be glad to clean the soiled, to pray with and encourage those who are downtrodden, to mow the yard of someone who's in need, to prepare a meal to say, we love you and we're praying for you and thinking about you. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. Work in this place, I pray today. As Justin leads us, you lift your voices to the Lord, will you?